यशोदानन्दन व्रज जनरञ्जन यमुनतीरावणचारी जय राधामाधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधामाधव कुंज बिहारी जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्त सहश्री हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्त सहश्री हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती ठाकुर श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय। नामाचार्य श्रील हरिदास ठाकुर की जय। प्रेम से कहो जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद की जय। श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरिराज गोवर्धन की जय। गंगा माई यमुना माई की जय। भक्ति देवी तुलसी देवी की जय। नवद्वीप मायापुर धाम की जय। पुरुषोत्तम क्षेत्र जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की निताय गौर प्रेमानंदे। All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories, all glories, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेष्वभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया भगवतीर्वुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्टिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। ओम ज्ञानतिमिरंदस्य ज्ञानांजन शलाकया चक्षुरोन्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः। श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदा मह्यं तदाति स्वपदान्तिकं। वंदेहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयुता पदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातां సహ గణారగుణాన్వితం తాం సజీవం సాద్వైతం సావదూతం పరిజనా సహితం కృష్ణ చైతన్యదేవం శ్రీరాధా కృష్ణపాదాన్ సహగణాలలిత శ్రీవిశాఖాన్వితాంశ్చ హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధు దీనబంధో జగత్పతే గోపేశ గోపికా కాంత రాధాకాంత నమోస్తుతే తప్త కాంచన గౌరాంగీ రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరి వృషభానుసుతే దేవి ప్రణమామి హరిప్రియే వాంచాకల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపాసింధుభ్య ఏవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః జయ శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాదార్ శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త వృంద హరే కృష్ణ హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే So welcome everyone for the Sunday feast program. So today I'm going to speak from Srimad Bhagavad Gita. I thought of deciding to speak on the various verses in the Gita where Krishna or Arjuna or others use the word dharma. I'll try to go through some of the verses as far as possible. So, before we go into the verses of the Gita, I will try to discuss briefly about this word dharma. One of the first shloka, when a person starts attending some of the basic courses like Journey of Self-Discovery, one of the first verses we actually learn is this verse which comes in the Mahabharata. Ahara nidra bayamaitunam cha samanya metat pashubir naranam dharmohitesho adhiko vishesho dharmena heena pashubis samana. So in this verse, Srila Vyasadeva has written that the common activities between the human being and an animal are eating, mating, sleeping and depending. And the one special activity or the special prerogative of a human being is to practice dharma. And when a human being does not practice dharma, dharmena heena pashubis samana, then he is considered to be an animal. So this shows, just like for example, with a mobile phone can also be used as a torchlight, mobile phone can also be used as a calculator. But when we compare the mobile phone with a calculator or a torchlight, what is the special quality of say mobile phone over the torchlight is that? With the torchlight you cannot actually communicate with the other person. A mobile phone can be used to actually communicate with others. So similarly with a calculator. So similarly, that the special quality of a human being is that he is supposed to practice dharma. And regarding this definition of dharma, Yudhishthira Maharaj asks a question to Bhishma Dev. And Yudhishthira Maharaj asks a question, can you please explain the meaning of dharma? And Yudhishthira Maharaj answers the question in the Mahabharata Shanti Parva by saying that The question you have actually asked me is a very difficult question, because it is difficult to say what is dharma. It is not easy to describe it. And nobody describing dharma can describe it accurately. And then Bhishma Dev gives his understanding, his definition of dharma. He says, Prabhavartaya bhutanam dharma pravachanam kritam yahasyat prabhavas samyukta sa dharma iti nishchayaha. He says that dharma was declared for the aggrandizement and growth of all the creatures. I mean, that which will actually help in the growth or the benefit of maximum number of living entities, that is called dharma. Or dharma is that which actually results in advancement or growth. Yahasyat prabhavas samyukta. That which will result in growth of a living entity, not just physical growth, in all levels. That which will result in actually advancement or the growth of the living entity is called dharma. And then further he says, Dharanad dharma mityahur adharmena vidyuta praja. The word dharma comes from the root verb, a root dhatu called as dru. Dru means that to sustain. So dharma was declared for preventing one living entity to injure another living entity. So dharma is that which will actually prevent the himsa towards other living entity. For that dharma is defined. And dharma is that which prevents injury to others. And dharma is also so called because it maintains all the creatures. Because it comes from the word dhru. Dhru means to sustain, to maintain. So practicing dharma will result in actually maintenance of all creatures. And it also results in sometimes we find there is undue competition, like sometimes for few seats or thousands of people apply. But when people act according to the dharma, this undue competition will also reduce. It's not just physical himsa will be actually reduced, but even the undue competition, which we normally see in the modern day, that will also reduce. So righteousness is also so called because it maintains all the creatures. In fact, all the creatures are kept up righteousness. Therefore, dharma is what is capable of upholding all the living entities. Our Prabhupada gives a even more simpler definition of the word dharma. He says, dharma is that which is natural to a particular entity or a particular living, it can be for a particular, say, object or a particular living entity. The dharma for sugar is to taste sweet. So similarly, dharma is that which is the natural thing. So, as every living entity, there is a physical body and there is a soul. So that which is natural for the soul, or the natural position of the soul, is that the soul is a part and parcel of God, and soul's natural position is to engage in the service of the Supreme Lord, which is the dharma of the soul. And similarly, there is something which is natural for the body, which is according to the natural psychophysical nature of the body, and that dharma is called as the Varnashram Dharma. So with this introduction about the word dharma, we'll try to go through some of the verses in the Gita where the word dharma comes, and then try to gain some understanding of those verses. So Bhagavad Gita begins with this word, where Dhritarashtra asks the question, dharma kshetre kuru kshetre samaveta yuyutsavaha ಮಾಮಕ ಪಾಂಡವಾಶ್ಚೈವ ಕಿಂ ಅಕುರ್ವತ ಸಂಜಯ. ಸೊ ಧೃತರಾಷ್ಟ್ರ ಆಸ್ ದಟ್ ಆಫ್ಟರ್ ಅಸೆಂಬ್ಲಿಂಗ್ ಇನ್ ಕುರುಕ್ಷೇತ್ರ ವಿಚ್ ಇಸ್ ಅ ಪ್ಲೇಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಧರ್ಮ, ವಾಟ್ ಡಿಡ್ ಮೈ ಸನ್ಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ದ ಕೌರವಾಸ್ ಡೂ? ಧೃತರಾಷ್ಟ್ರಸ್ ಕ್ಯಾರೆಕ್ಟರ್, ದರ್ ಆರ್ ಸೋ ಮೆನಿ ಆಸ್ಪೆಕ್ಟ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಧೃತರಾಷ್ಟ್ರಸ್ ಕ್ಯಾರೆಕ್ಟರ್. One of the aspects of Dhritarashtra's character is that he himself was very much part of the conspiracy to give trouble to the Pandavas in so many ways. He himself was part of the conspiracy to kill the Pandavas. But although he himself was part of the conspiracy, and then that actually provoked the Pandavas to fight for the to start this war. And then, although he was part of the conspiracy, but many times he would play the victim card. We find even in the modern times, this psychology is actually, it is very dangerous. Sometimes people, they act in a way to provoke the other party, and when the other parties, when they retaliate, and then at that time they play the victim card. Even in the recent many of the protests which are going on throughout the country, some places we find that there are people who deliberately act in a way to provoke the, say, police or others, and then when they counterattack, they play the victim card. So this psychology is very dangerous. This is the psychology of Dhritarashtra. And sometimes there are certain even religious institutions, they also actually act in a way, they perform certain conspiracy to convert people of other religion. And then when the other people retaliate, and then they play a victim card. So Dhritarashtra is asking this question. He's saying that Dharma Kshetre, Kurukshetre. So Kurukshetra is called as a Dharma Kshetra because of different reasons. Because in the Shastras it is said that Kurukshetra is the place where Dharma is practiced. In fact, there are some Vedic quotes which say that one should go to Kurukshetra and practice Dharma. And Kurukshetra is the place of sacrifice to the Devatas by those who are like Devatas. And Kurukshetra is a place for worshipping the Lord. Therefore, Kurukshetra is called as Dharma Kshetra. And Kurukshetra is also called as Dharma Kshetra because Krishna, who is the father of Dharma, was present there. Therefore, he uses the word Dharma Kshetra. And Kurukshetra is also called as Dharma Kshetra because by using that word, it is indicated that it is like the field where Dharma is going to be victorious. It is a place where the weeds of Dharma will be uprooted by Krishna, who is like a farmer, who will uproot the weeds of Dharma, and the good crops in the form of the Pandavas will become actually prosperous, will become victorious. And Kurukshetra is also called as Dharma Kshetra because it is the place where the highest Dharma was exhibited. It is the place where the highest Dharma was exhibited by the gopis of Vrindavan when they came to Kurukshetra to observe the solar eclipse. But it is the place where Krishna bowed down to the love of the gopis headed by Srimati Radharani, and Krishna begged forgiveness when Krishna was conquered by the Prema Dharma. So we see that Kurukshetra is called a Dharma Kshetra. When Dhritarashtra is asking this question, he was thinking that is the place Kurukshetra, which is the place of Dharma, Is it influencing the Pandavas to give up their claim on their kingdom? So Pandavas are by nature, they are virtuous. Is that place influencing them to give up their claim on their kingdom? That is one of the thought which is going on in his mind. And then another thought which he had was that he felt that Kurukshetra is a place of dharma and Pandavas are actually very dharmic in nature. Is the place helping the Pandavas to become victorious? What happened there? Just like we see, even in a sports match, when a team is playing in a home ground, where the audience gives so much of encouragement, so they also become enthused and they can become victorious more easily because of that encouragement given by the audience. So, Dhritarashtra is feeling, Kurukshetra is a home ground for the Pandavas, because Kurukshetra is a place of dharma and Pandavas are very dharmic people. So, what happened? Did the Pandavas become victorious? So, he is concerned, he is fearful about that. So, in this way, we find that in this particular verse, Dhritarashtra is using the word dharmakshetri. And then we will go to another verses, in fact, in a series of verses. Later in the first chapter, again the word dharma comes. This time it is used by Arjuna. When Arjuna is giving reasons for not fighting the battle, Arjuna says, Kulakshaye pranashyanti kula dharma sanatana dharme nashte kulam kritsnam adharmo abhibhavatyuta. He says that with the destruction of dharma, the traditional rules of conduct of the family are destroyed. With the destruction of the family, he says that in this battle, when I fight the battle, like all the elders in the family, they will get destroyed. They will get killed. And with the destruction of that family, the kula dharma, the traditional religious principles which are followed by the family members, they will get destroyed because there will be nobody to guide the younger generation. And dharme nashte, when the dharma is destroyed, then kulam krishnam adharma abhivavatyuta, then adharma will become prominent. The irreligiousness will actually become prominent. And then Arjuna says, adharma abhibhavat krishna pradushyanti kulastriyah trishu dushtasu varshneya jayate varna sankarah. When the adharma becomes prominent, then the women in the family, they will become polluted. Because they will not be engaged in the dharmic activities, so therefore they will become polluted. And when the women become polluted, then unwanted population will come. Strishu dushtasu varshneya jayate varna sankarah. So, especially we find that women play a very important role for bringing up the good population in the society. They play a very important role. So, Arjuna is thinking that when the women become polluted, when they are not engaged in dharma, then the resultant population for the future generations, they will not be dharmic. The world will not be a suitable place to live because it will be filled with demoniac people who will not follow dharma. And then further, in fact, previously, Krishna addressed Arjuna by the word Partha. Now, Arjuna is addressing Krishna by the word Varshneya, by saying that, like, you are in the Vrishni dynasty, how would you feel if your dynasty becomes filled with unwanted population? So that is the implication of Arjuna addressing Krishna by the word Varshneya. See, here Arjuna says that the world will become filled with Varna Sankara population. Varna Sankara means it's like a children born out of the marriage. or it can refer to children born of the mixed caste, or it can refer to children born within the marriage but without the observance of the samskaras. So Arjuna is concerned that this Varna Sankara population will spoil the society. Like in today's context, what we understand as Varna Sankara, it is different from what is the actual understanding. Varna Sankara, it's translated as unwanted progeny. But what we understand by the word, it is much different from what Arjuna means by the word Varna Sankara. And then further Arjuna says, Sankaro narakayaiva kulagnanam kulasyacha patanti pitaro hyesham lupto pindotaka kriya. And when the Varna Sankara population increases, and then they will stop performing the pindadana to the forefathers. And because of that, the forefathers will actually fall down to hell. Patanti pitaro hyesham. Because they will be deprived of the pinda offerings. They will be deprived of the pinda offerings. And then Arjuna, so we can see, when Arjuna is giving this reasoning, his reasoning is based on dharma. He is actually thinking about the future that this war can result in all these things. And he says that dosher yetei kulagnana varna sankara karakai utsadyante jati dharma kula dharmasya sashvata. Those people who are responsible for the destruction of this kula dharma and for jati dharma, they will go to hell. Both caste and traditional family rules are destroyed by the fault of the Varna Sankara caused by the killers of family members. And he says that those people who are responsible for this destruction of this family, different dharmas, they will eternally reside in hell. This I have heard from superiors. Bhavatit anushushruma. So we can see that when Arjuna is giving this, his reasoning, where in fact the first chapter of the Bhagavad Gita is called as Arjuna Vishada Yoga, where Arjuna is lamenting. Usually when a person is lamenting, you don't actually expect a philosophy from the mouth of the lamenting person. But Arjuna, even in his lamentation, he is actually enlightening us. Whereas the so-called intellectuals, even in their enlightened state, they tell us to actually abandon dharma. Whereas Arjuna, even in his lamenting state, even in his confused state, he is only enlightening us about the importance of the different dharmas, like Pitru Dharma, Kula Dharma. So therefore, one Vaishnava, he says that when Arjuna, he compares Krishna's dealing with Arjuna and Lord Ram's dealing with Hanuman. When Hanumanji, when Vibhishan came to surrender to Lord Ram, Lord Ram asked the opinions of the different monkey soldiers, should I accept Vibhishan? And different monkey soldiers, they told Lord Ram not to actually accept Vibhishan, because Vibhishan is the brother of our enemy, and it is not actually, he may have a particular plan by which he wants to know our secrets and reveal to our enemies. So we shouldn't accept him. That's how some of the monkey soldiers advised Lord Ram. But when Lord Ram asked Hanumanji said that we should accept, you can accept Vibhishan's surrender. And then he said that the reason why Vibhishan has actually come to take shelter of you is that because maybe he is thinking that you killed Vali and gave the kingdom to Sugriva. So he may have the expectation that he will kill Ravana and then he will give the kingdom to him. with that expectation he is coming, but you can accept him. You can give sharanagati to him. You can accept his sharanagati. You can give shelter to him. That's how Hanumanji said. So when Lord Ram heard this, Lord Ram accepted the decision of Hanuman, but he did not accept the reasoning of Hanuman. Because Vibhishan did not have any ulterior motive in surrendering to Lord Ram. On the other hand, when Arjuna gave these reasons to Krishna, why he did not want to fight the battle, Krishna, he accepted the reasoning of Arjuna, but he did not accept the decision of Arjuna. So, we can see that Arjuna, even when he is actually giving these reasons for not fighting the battle, those reasonings are based on dharma. He is concerned that some of the kula dharma and these dharmas will be destroyed and the women will become polluted and the varna sankara population will increase, and then the different dharmas toward the forefathers will stop and the forefathers will go to hell, and then because of that, those who are responsible for destroying this kula dharma, jati dharma, pitra dharma, they will actually reside in hell. Therefore, I don't want to fight this battle. So Krishna accepted the reasoning, but Krishna did not accept the decision of Arjuna. And let us take another verse in the Gita where the word dharma comes. Again, this is spoken by Arjuna. When he is surrendering to Krishna, he says that karpanya dosho pahata swabhava prichyamitvam dharma sammuda cheta yachreyasthan nishchitam bruhitanme shishyastegam shadimam tvam prapannam. So he says that now karpanya dosho upahata swabhava. My swabhava, my nature as a kshatriya to fight, this nature has been overcome by kripana, by the lack of understanding the Brahman, or by the lack of having spiritual knowledge, my kshatriya nature has been overcome because of lack of spiritual knowledge. And my mind is actually bewildered about dharma. Dharma sammuda. Like this verse is a defining verse in the Gita, because the Bhagavad Gita is spoken by Krishna because Arjuna is bewildered about his dharma. He is thinking that, should I perform my kshatriya dharma of fighting, or should I go to the forest and should I beg? Because according to kula dharma, one should not kill the relatives. According to kshatriya dharma, aggressor should be killed. So I am actually caught up between these two dharmas. I am confused. Should I fight the battle or should I go to the forest and lead the life of a beggar? Dharma sammuda. And then he says that, therefore I am asking you what is best for me. In fact, it is said that, as I mentioned at the beginning, to know what is dharma, like Bhishma Dev mentioned that it is very difficult to understand dharma. So therefore, Arjuna is saying that because it is difficult to understand dharma, dharmasya sukshma gatihi, therefore it is better that you decide, you tell me what is best for me. What dharma I should actually practice. I am bewildered about my dharma. I am bewildered about my duty at this point of time. So we see that Arjuna, in fact, and then he says that, now I am surrendered unto you. Please instruct me about my duty. So, Arjuna is actually revealing his weakness or revealing his confusion to Krishna right in the middle of the battlefield. So generally, people find it difficult to reveal their weaknesses, reveal their vulnerability to others. But Arjuna is actually he is conscious of his weakness, and he is actually disclosing it to Krishna, to the right person, and then he acted according to Krishna's guidance. He said that Karishye Vachanam Tava at the end of the Gita. So there are three steps. First, we have to be conscious of our weakness, and then we have to disclose that. We have to take the guidance from the right person, and then we have to implement that guidance. We have to act according to that guidance. So many times, people actually feel that, why should I actually disclose my weakness? In fact, to disclose one's weakness, it requires a courage. And Arjuna, although he is disclosing his weakness, but he is so courageous that he was revealing that weakness to Krishna right in the middle of the battlefield where there are 64 crore people are there. Because when we reveal our weakness, we may think that, oh, what will others actually think of us? What will others think of us? So that is why it is said that the greatest consequence of a weakness manifests through the suppression of it. When we suppress that weakness, that results in the greatest consequence of the weakness. So here, we can see that Arjuna revealed his weakness, revealed his confusion to Krishna in front of everyone. That requires a great courage. If we compare Arjuna, Dhritarashtra and Duryodhan, Duryodhan was also fearful. In fact, Duryodhan, when he saw the army of the Pandavas, he became fearful. How is it that these Pandavas, they were in the forest for 14 years, but how did they manage to collect such a big army? He was fearful, but he couldn't reveal his fear. And therefore, he speak in a diplomatic way towards the Dronacharya and Bhishma and others. So Duryodhan actually never revealed his weakness. On the other hand, Dhritarashtra, many times he would reveal his weakness to others, like Vyasadev, Sanjaya, Vidura. But Dhritarashtra, he would never act according to the guidance of others. Sometimes the people may reveal their weakness, but they must have already decided what they want to do. So Dhritarashtra was like that. Even though others would give certain guidance, but he had already decided what he wanted to do, but he would reveal that weakness to play the sympathy card. But Arjuna was a person, he actually revealed his weakness to Krishna, even in the middle of the battlefield, and then he acted according to Krishna's guidance. So therefore, especially in the modern world, the more a person gets exposed to the media, one becomes more concerned with the image management than becoming conscious of our weakness and revealing our weakness to others. Because the whole media is about how to project yourself in such a way that others will actually think good about you. It's about image management. So the more we actually expose to the modern media, when we are not careful, we also get conditioned by the psychology, and we become more busy with our image management than becoming conscious of our weakness and the other steps of revealing our weakness to others and acting according to that guidance. So here we see that Arjuna, by exhibiting his vulnerability to the right person in front of others, he is becoming truly invulnerable. He is exhibiting his true bravery, actually. And Arjuna, he is saying that Dharma Sammuda, I am actually confused about my Dharma. So he says that Because why is confusion is that? Because he had a special affection towards some of the people in the opposite party, especially Bhishma and Drona. Katam Bhishmam Aham Sankhe Dronam Cha Madhusudana Ishubi Pratiyatsyami Pujarha Varisudana. How can I shoot arrows at Bhishma and Drona, who are worthy of my worship? I am supposed to offer flowers to them. How can I shoot arrows at them? So, Arjuna, because of his special affection towards his grandfather and the teacher, he became reluctant to perform his duty as a kshatriya, as a warrior. So sometimes, because of the loyalty or an affection towards a particular person, one becomes little callous or one becomes little irresponsible towards one's duty, towards one's dharma. So Arjuna was reluctant to perform his dharma. On the other hand, personalities like Bhishma had taken a vow that I will always remain loyal to the kingdom of Hastinapur. So because of his loyalty to the kingdom or the institution of Hastinapur, he was fighting or he was supporting the Kauravas who are on the side of Adharma. So here in the case of Bhishma, because of his loyalty to the kingdom, he ended up supporting the Adharmic people. And Arjuna, because of his affection towards few people, he was reluctant to perform his dharma. He was becoming little inactive in regards to his duty. That is why it is said in the Shastra, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is described about Prithu Maharaj, it is said that, Nadandiyam dandayatyesha sutam atma vishamapi. He said that this king, he will always remain on the path of dharma. He will be neutral to both his son and the son of his enemy. If the son of his enemy is not punishable, he will not punish him. But if his own son is punishable, he will immediately punish him. So that means, especially the leaders, they are expected to be principle-centric or dharma-centric than person-centric or the particular, say, institution-centric. So here, because it's mentioned that even if a son of the enemy is found to be not punishable, he will not punish. But if his own son is punishable, he will punish. So that means the reference point is dharma. And then, let us go to the next verse in the Gita, where the word dharma comes. This is spoken by Krishna. I may not remember all the verses in Gita, whatever verses which came to my mind, whether dharma is there, I am just trying to cover. Neha bikrama nashosti pratyavayona vidyate swalpam api asya dharmasya trayate mahato bayat. Here Krishna says that, if a person makes little advancement in the path of dharma, one will be saved from the greatest danger in life. One will be saved from the greatest danger in life. So here Krishna talks about how the practicing one's dharma, it actually protects a person from even the greatest danger. So that is why we find in the Shastras, in fact the heart of Mahabharata, is the Sharanagati of Draupadi, which she performs in the Asat Sabha, where she was about to be disrobed. And in fact, when Draupadi was called to that Asat Sabha, when she was ordered to come there, what was the question which Draupadi asked? Draupadi asked please tell me what is the dharma which I am supposed to perform at this point in time. I am asking all the people who are present in the assembly, what is the dharma I am supposed to practice at this point in time? In fact, when she was called, when Duryodhan sent one of his servants to bring Draupadi, that time she asked that question to him, please go and ask the people, what is the dharma I am supposed to perform? And also tell me whether, is it right according to dharma that Yudhishthir actually put me as a stake after losing himself? So generally, when a person is at the greatest difficulty in his life, one actually forgets the dharma. One somehow, one goes into confusion. One people, they forget dharma. They become very angry. And they don't become conscious of their duties. But Draupadi, even at the time of her greatest need, the most difficult time of her life, her question is that, what is the dharma which I am supposed to perform? Because from that we can understand the importance of dharma. And Krishna is saying here, the practice of dharma will save one from the greatest danger in life. And when we, like in fact, this aspect of dharma is also described in the various places in the Shastra, in the Manusmriti and in the Mahabharata, where the verse comes that, dharmo rakshati rakshataha. One who protects dharma, one who observes dharma, will be protected. And Prabhupada, in his purports in the Bhagavatam, when he talks about this aspect of protection, he writes in various purports. As I mentioned in the beginning, there is a dharma of the soul and dharma of the body. Dharma of the soul is devotional service to Krishna. Dharma of the body is varnashram dharma, which also has to be performed as in devotion to Krishna. So Prabhupada writes in several places, there are several verses in the Gita, several verses in the Bhagavatam, where it is mentioned that the real protection is given by the Supreme Lord. Balasya neha sharanam pitarau narsingha nartasya chagada mudanvato majyato nav. Prahlad Maharaj says that somebody may be born in a very wealthy family with the best facilities, but still, with the best of the medical facilities, and still a person dies young. On the other hand, somebody is anatha, but he goes on to live for many years. This shows that the real protector is the Supreme Lord. And that we can access that protection of the Supreme Lord when we render in devotional service to the Lord. So therefore, that devotional service protects a person. And in fact, we see that Ajamila, he actually, he chanted the holy names of the Lord at the time of his death by thinking of his son. But although for such a long time he performed like adharmic activities, sinful activities, but by the chanting of the holy names in a helpless state of mind, that protected him from going to hell. So this shows the protection offered by the devotional service to the Lord. Therefore the Bhagavatam in the various places, it talks about how the real protector is the Supreme Lord. Again, with the connecting to the theme of dharmo rakshati rakshataha. And also Prabhupada writes in several places where when he talks about protection, he says that the protection is also given when a person observes his varnashram dharma. In one purport in the Bhagavatam, he says that according to the Viraragava Acharya, such protection means organizing the citizens according to their varna and ashrama. It was the responsibility of the royal order to see that the citizens were following the regulative principles of the varna and ashrama. And then, so therefore, we find that the head of the institution would engage the people according to their varna and ashrama, because that actually offers protection to them. So therefore, when we talk about protection, protection is talked about in terms of engaging in the dharma of the soul and also dharma of the body, which is the varnashram dharma, which we find Prabhupada mentions in several places. In there is another verse in the fourth canto, where the Brahmanas are advising King Vena. The Brahmanas say that when the men perform their dharma by the words, body and intelligence, the whole world becomes free of misery. When people perform their dharma, the whole world becomes free of misery. And for those without attachment, when people perform the dharma without attachment, then not only they will become free of miseries, and they become eligible for liberation also. So in that way, these Brahmanas were advising a king who stopped all the dharmic activities. So therefore, performance of dharma offers a person protection, both on the physical level and also on a spiritual level. And which is what Krishna says, that neha vikramanashosti pratyavayona vidyate swalpam api asya dharmasya. Even a little performance of dharma trayate mahato bayat will save a person from the greatest danger, which is gliding down to the lower species of life. And then the next verse which we'll consider, where the word dharma comes, is from the third chapter of the Gita. Shreyan swadharmo viguna paradharma sunishtitat swadharme nidanam shreya paradharmo bayavaha. Where Krishna says that it is better to perform one's own swadharma even imperfectly, instead of performing somebody else's swadharma perfectly. Destruction in the course of performing one's swadharma is glorious than performing somebody else's swadharma. Swadharme nidanam shreya. The word nidanam, it can mean that nidanam, like losing all one's wealth. Even if a person loses all one's wealth by performing one's swadharma, it is glorious. Or nidanam means, it means actually death. Destruction in the course of one's swadharma. You are a kshatriya. Even if you die while fighting this battle, it is actually glorious because you are performing a swadharma. In fact, this verse comes two times in the Gita. Another verse, Manmanabhava Madbhakto, where Krishna emphasizes the dharma of the soul, that also comes two times in the Gita. So we see there are like two kinds of desires which a person may have. Like one kind of desire is born out of subtle influences caused by our previous samskaras. Caused by our previous samskaras, certain desires are born. Samskaras means the previous impressions. And the other kind of desire is born out of the impositions made by the immediate surroundings. Maybe some media, or it could be some newspaper, it could be some people whom we meet. So, say 20 of your, say, classmates are going for engineering. So that influences you, let me also go for engineering. So your desire is influenced by the other surroundings. But whereas it may be more natural for you to become an artist or a doctor or somebody else. That may be, according to your previous samskara, it may be natural for you to maybe to become a doctor or do in the commerce line or different other this one. But because some of your friends are going in, say, engineering or this one, you may think, oh, let me also go in that. So certain desires are born out of our previous samskaras, certain impressions, which is our core psychophysical nature. And certain desires are born out of the immediate surroundings. So that's what Krishna says, that Shreyan Swadharma means it is better to pursue those desires which are born out of our previous samskaras, instead of pursuing those desires which are born out of the immediate surroundings, which are influenced by our surroundings. In fact, that was the clash between Duryodhan and Yudhishthir. Duryodhan's desire to be the king was born not out of his destiny. But Duryodhan was never destined to become the king. His desire to become the king was born out of his Shakuni's ill advice. It was born out of Shakuni's ill advice and advice of other people. Because according to the destiny, Yudhishthira is supposed to become the king. Whereas Yudhishthira's desire was destiny centered. It is not simply surrounding centered. So therefore, when we pursue the destiny centered desires, then that will give contentment, deep satisfaction, that will give increased responsibility. And whereas when we pursue the desires which are influenced by the surroundings, that may give some temporary excitement, but ultimately it will lead to dissatisfaction and distress. So that is what Krishna is saying here, Shreyan Swadharmo Viguna. In fact, Krishna not only speaks to Arjuna, even Krishna observes his dharma, whether he is present in the material dwaraka or in the spiritual dwaraka. When Gopakumar came to Dwaraka in the spiritual world, so Uddhava and Narada Muni was present. So Gopakumar asked a question and Uddhava requested Narada Muni to answer. Narada Muni asked that, why don't you answer? Then Uddhava said that you are a Brahmana, so it's not proper that I answer the question of Gopakumar in front of you. So then Narada Muni said that, why do you maintain such identity as a Brahmana and a Kshatriya in the spiritual world, which is actually like beyond the material realm? All these material identities are supposed to be, they are observed in the material world. But then Uddhava responds by saying that our Supreme Lord Krishna, whether he is present in the material dwaraka or in the spiritual dwaraka, he observes the dharma of the, as a grahastha or as a kshatriya, all the dharmas he observes. So therefore, I also want to observe the dharma. You please answer the question of Gopakumar. So, in fact, we see that in the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, when Rukmini sent a letter through a Brahmana to meet Krishna, so Krishna welcomes that Brahmana, he receives him, and while massaging that Brahmana, the first question which Krishna asks that Brahmana is that, Kachit Dvijavara Sreshta Dharmaste Vriddha Samatamaha. He says that, how is your practice of Dharma going on? How is your practice of Dharma approved by the superior authorities? How is that going on? So generally, those who are dharmically sensitive, one of the main conversation, when they converse, one other thing which they ask is, how is the practice of dharma going on? So in that way, Krishna is emphasizing the importance of dharma in the third chapter of the Gita. And then let us take some of the verses in the fourth chapter. Yada yadahi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata, abhyuttanam adharmasya tadatmanam srijamyaham, paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha dushkritam dharma samsthapanartaya sambhavami yuge yuge. So Krishna says that whenever there is a decline in dharma, I appear to establish dharma in every yuga. And in every yuga, in order to protect the devotees, to kill the miscreants, and for dharma samsthapanartaya, to establish dharma, I appear in yuga after yuga. In fact, we find several names of Krishna in relation to dharma. Dharma Adhyaksha. If you chant the Vishnu Sahasranama, there are many names of Krishna in relation to dharma. Dharma Adhyaksha, the overseer of dharma. Dharma, the personification of dharma. Dharma Viduttama, the knower of dharma. Dharma Gupa, the protector of dharma. Dharma Krita, the propagator of dharma. Dharma Yupa, foundation of dharma. Satya Dharma Parakrama, shelter of the true practitioners of dharma. Satya Dharma, the abode of true dharma. And there are several names of Krishna in relation to bhakti. So generally when we say several names of Krishna in relation to dharma, Krishna comes to appear Krishna appears to establish dharma, so it refers to, the word dharma refers to varnashram dharma. And there are several names of Krishna in relation to the bhakti also. Bhakti is considered to be the topmost dharma. Savai pumsam paro dharmo yato bhakti radokshaje. Ahaituki apratihata yayatma suprasidati. So that to perform the highest dharma of a living entity is to perform unmotivated, uninterrupted devotional service to the Lord. So bhakti is considered to be the highest of the dharmas. So there are several names of Krishna in relation to bhakti, like bhakta vatsala, bhakta paradina, aswatantra, sadhumaya, like that. So we find that Krishna has names in relation to bhakti and Krishna has names in relation to varnashram dharma. So if we study the character of Krishna, Krishna perfectly harmonizes both these principles of bhakti and dharma. He establishes dharma, varnashram dharma, and at the same time, the main purpose of Krishna is to actually to reciprocate with the devotees who are suffering in separation from him, and to attract the conditioned souls by his pastimes to the spiritual world. So, in every incarnation, he propagates bhakti, and also he establishes the order in this world by establishing the varnashram dharma. And in fact, when we talk about this, like for example, Gandhi, Mohandas Gandhi, he also referred to Gita. He would actually hold Gita many times. Hitler also, he also referred to Gita. But both had an opposite perspective. Like Gandhi took only the symbolic meaning of Gita, and Hitler imitated the story of Mahabharata by brutally murdering innocent people. Gandhi wanted peace and Hitler wanted war. And Gandhi's approach gave him fame. People considered Gandhi practiced ahimsa. But Gandhi's practice of ahimsa also resulted in the greatest himsa during the partition. So Gandhi's approach, but still his approach gave him fame, and Hitler's approach gave him infamy. But although both referred to Gita, both did not understand the message of Gita. So we see that Gita is idealistic, but in Gita, Krishna reluctantly takes the decision of practical violence. In the case of Gandhi, he was actually dedicated or determined to practice ahimsa that resulted in so much of himsa. And Hitler actually brutally killed so many innocent people. But Gita, for the sake of establishing dharma, even adharma, even the violence is also required. That's how Krishna was practical. So therefore, we see that Krishna appears in every yuga to establish dharma. And in fact, when we see, how I mentioned that Krishna balances between dharma and bhakti, when we see the different roles played by Krishna, Krishna was there in this planet for 125 years, he displayed his pastimes. There are so many different roles which Krishna played. Krishna played the role of an intimate lover. Like normally, for a person to actually to exhibit his love to one person throughout his life, it becomes so difficult. To maintain relationship with one person throughout one's life is difficult. But Krishna reciprocated such perfect love with 16,108 queens and with so many gopis. So that is that Krishna played the role of an intimate lover. And Krishna played the role of a social reformer. That Krishna, when the 16,100 princesses who were held captive by Bhaumasura, after killing Bhaumasura, Krishna accepted them. So according to society at that time, they would not be accepted by another men. But still, Krishna played the role of a social reformer and Krishna gave shelter to all of them. Krishna gave an identity to them, and he with great dignity he actually respected them and gave an identity. In that way he played the role of a social reformer, and Krishna played the role of an exterminator. Like it is said that according to the some of the records which are available in the modern day historical records, it is said that in the various conflicts which happened in the world in some 14 centuries, the number of people who died in the various wars which happened in various countries is 487 million people. Well, it's not a very accurate measure, whatever statistic is available. It gives some, like this figure gives some idea of the violence. And these wars were actually happened in so many months and years, and spanning over a period of 14 centuries. And so many people died, 487 million. But compared to this, in the 18-day war which happened in the Kurukshetra, in the Mahabharata war, according to the Mahabharata Stri Parva, chapter 26, verse 9 and 10, how many people died in that war? 1,660,000,000 and 20,000 men died in the battle. So this is something like four times the earlier statistics, in which like that statistics was wars happened in a period of 14 centuries. So we see that like Krishna played the role of an exterminator, as I mentioned at the beginning of the verse, like in order like for a farmer to plant some useful crops, for the useful crops to grow, you have to pluck out the weeds. So therefore, that Krishna played the role of an exterminator for the sake of establishing dharma. That is what Krishna says, that dharma samsthapanarthaya. And Krishna also played the role of a statesman, as a politician. So sometimes people say, oh, religion cannot enter into politics. Do not mix religion with and politics. But actually, one shouldn't, the actual statement should be, do not politicize religion. Because Krishna consciousness can enter in all the fields, because that is the very nature of Krishna, but one should not politicize religion. Like somebody has a propensity for a politician, if a person does not utilize that propensity in the right field, in the right area, then he will end up acting politically within the community of devotees. So which is better, whether to be straightforward within the community of devotees and to dotail one's propensity in the right field, or to say that religion cannot enter into politics, and then one ends up acting politically within the society of devotees. So Krishna played the role of a statesman also. So in this way, in the fourth chapter, the word dharma comes. And then in the seventh chapter, the word dharma comes, where Krishna says that dharmo aviruddho bhuteshu kamosmi bharatarishabha. He says that the act of procreation, which is performed according to dharma, which is not contrary to dharma, that act of procreation is me. One can experience the divinity through the act of procreation, which is not contrary to dharma. So we can see that even Krishna is actually using the word dharma in the seventh chapter. In fact, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Vidura is asking a question to Maitreya Rishi. Swayambhuvascha manor vamsha parama sammataha katyatam bhagavan yatra maitunena dire praja. He is asking that, can you please give an account of the dynasty of Swayambhuva Manu? Why Vidura is a person and renowned starter, and Maitreya is a sannyasi, but Vidura is asking this question about the dynasty of Swayambhuva Manu because he knew that Swayambhuva Manu procreated children by following the dharmic principles. So therefore, there will be great devotees must have taken birth in the dynasty. So I want to hear about all these personalities. So that is what Krishna says, dharmo aviruddho bhuteshu. And then, the word dharma comes in the 9th chapter, where Krishna talks about how if a devotee who is fixed in performing bhakti to me, but even if he commits some abominable activity, apichet su duracharo bhajate ma mananya bhak, sadureva sa mantavya samya vyavasito hi sa. But he should be still considered as a sadhu. And then Krishna explains that kshipram bhavati dharmatma, shashvat shantim nigachyati, kaunteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashyati. That very soon such a devotee, such a fallen devotee, such a devotee, he will very soon become a dharmatma. He will become righteous. O Arjuna, declare boldly that my devotee will never perish. Kaunteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashyati. So we see that even the Srimad Bhagavatam explains that even if a devotee sometimes commits certain sinful activities, but if he continues to practice dharma, if he continues to practice bhakti to Krishna, and he will become purified from within, and then he will become a dharmatma. So Krishna says, kshipram bhavati dharmatma, such a devotee will become righteous. And then we find that the word dharma comes in the 12th chapter. Yetu dharma mritam idam, yatoktam paryupasate, shraddadana matparama, bhaktaste ativa me priya. So Krishna says, Krishna is describing the different qualities of the devotees in the 12th chapter. And then he concludes the 12th chapter with this verse, where he says that, yetu dharma amritam idam. Dharma amritam idam can mean that, those who follow this imperishable path of bhakti. Those who follow this imperishable path of bhakti. Bhakti is also a path of dharma. Bhakti is the highest dharma we already described. Those who follow this imperishable path of devotional service and completely engage themselves with faith, they are very, very dear to me. Ativa me priya. And then, this verse means that those devotees who completely take up the nectar of the qualities which are just taught by me, those who actually try to live by the qualities which are taught by me and who are full of faith, such devotees are most dear to me. So in that way, Krishna uses the word yetu dharma amritam idam. And then the word dharma also comes, the 16th chapter, 17th chapter, 18th chapter. And the 16th chapter, when Krishna talks about the demon psychology, he doesn't explicitly use the word dharma, but it is translated like that. Pravrittimcha nivrittimcha janana vidurasura nasatyam asatyam napichacharo na shaucham napichacharo nasatyam teshu vidyate. He says that asuras are those people who do not know what is dharma and what is not dharma. And they don't observe cleanliness, and they don't know proper conduct, and they don't speak the truth. So the demons are defined by those who do not know what is dharma and what is adharma. When Krishna in the 18th chapter, when he talks about the intelligence in the three gunas, again he uses the word dharma. He says that when he talks about intelligence in tamoguna, he explains that adharmam dharma mitiya manyate tamasavrata sarvartan viparitamcha buddhisa partha tamasi. So those who have the intelligence in the mode of ignorance, they consider dharma to be adharma and adharma to be dharma. And those who are having the intelligence in the mode of passion, they are confused about what is dharma and what is adharma. And those who are having the intelligence and mode of sattva guna, they understand what is dharma and what is adharma. They understand what is to be feared and what is not to be feared. So, in that way, Krishna uses the word dharma in so many places in the Gita. And finally, at the end of the Gita, in the Charama Shloka, or in the ultimate Shloka of the Gita, Krishna says that, Sarva dharman parityajya mamekam sharanam vraja. Aham tvam sarva papebhyo moksha ishyami ma shuchah. So here, Krishna says that, now abandon all varieties of dharma and surrender unto me. And do not worry, I will actually take care of all the sinful reactions. In order to appreciate this verse, you have to first understand actually the importance of dharma, which is mentioned by Krishna in so many other verses in the Gita. So without understanding how Krishna emphasized dharma in all the previous verses in the Gita, if we only try to understand this verse, then you will be only scratching the surface of this verse. So truly understand this particular verse, first we have to understand how Krishna emphasized the dharma in so many places in the Gita. So, in fact, if we see the main point in this verse, Sarva dharman parityajya mamekam sharanam vraja, the main point in this verse is not Sarva dharman parityajya. The main focus of this verse is mam ekam sharanam vraja. Where Krishna says that surrender unto me. Because why we say that? Because the first person who heard this verse is Arjuna. After hearing this verse, did Arjuna abandon all the different dharmas as a father or as a brother or as a husband or as a son or as a warrior? It is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam first canto. Te sadhukrita sarvartha jnatva atyantika matmanah manasa darayam asur vaikunta charanambujam. So in this verse, Suta Goswami is saying, when he is describing the retirement of the Pandavas, Suta Goswami says that in this way the Pandavas who had performed all the different dharmas, who had performed all the duties such as dharma and artha, as it should be done. Te sadhu krita sarvartha. So that means that Arjuna and the Pandavas, they performed all the different dharmas as it should be done. And then, jnatva atyantika matmanaha. Jnatva, that means understanding the endless nature of those duties. And understanding the infinite nature of those, or endless nature of those duties. And understanding the infinite nature of Krishna's lotus feet, they desired to retire by meditating on the lotus feet of Krishna. Vaikunta charanambujam. So, the different dharmas related to the body, there is no end to those dharmas. There is no end to taking care of the children or the different responsibilities with the family or whichever roles a person takes up, which are in relation to the body, one can keep on doing. So the Pandavas understood the endless nature of those duties. That's why Prabhupada writes in the purport, the modern politicians should take actually lessons from the Pandavas, because there are many modern politicians, they dye their body in nationalistic consciousness. One can use the propensity for nationalism in Krishna consciousness, but one cannot just get absorbed in that one leaves the body in the nationalistic consciousness. So Prabhupada says that the modern politician should take lesson from this, that how the Pandavas at a certain point they put a full stop to all the roles related to the family or the nation, and then they decided to focus on Krishna with a one-pointed attention, Vaikunta Charanambujam. So the Pandavas, they understood the endless nature of these dharmas, and then they also understood the infinite nature of Krishna's lotus feet. So because sometimes one may think that, oh, if I give up this role, so what will be my identity? How will I be able to function? Will people recognize me? One may think like that. But here, Pandavas, they understood that Yudhishthira Maharaj was the emperor of the whole planet Earth. But even if I give up this role, even if I retire from that, but the service to Krishna is infinite. That means that service to Krishna, there is opportunity to serve Krishna whether I have the identity as the emperor or whether I don't have the identity, because service to Krishna can be performed in any situation. Sarvo padi vinirmuktam. So therefore, that Arjuna was the first person who heard this verse, Sarva Dharman Parityajya, Mamekam Sharanam Vraja. So, but how Arjuna practiced this verse is that he performed all the dharmas as a surrendered devotee of Krishna. So therefore, the main point of this verse is that Mam Ekam Sharanam Vraja, that means surrendering to Krishna, and whatever is favorable for accepting that, for performing that surrender, one should accept, and whatever is unfavorable for that surrender, one should reject. So therefore, the acharyas, when they comment on this verse, they quote the six symptoms of surrender. Anukulyasya sankalpa pratikulyasya varjanam rakshayishyati vishwaso goptrutve varanam tata nikshepanam akapanyam sadvida sharanagati. The first two limbs of sharanagati are accepting whatever is favorable for surrendering to Krishna and rejecting whatever is unfavorable. And then having the faith that Krishna will protect us, and understanding that Krishna is a maintainer, like that. So, and then having the humility. So therefore, that when we talk about this verse, Sarva Dharma, after Krishna emphasized Dharma in so many verses in the Gita, because sometimes people, they take only this verse and they actually reject the previous verses where Krishna spoke about Dharma in the previous chapters in the Gita. So here, the heart of this verse is that when something is favorable for surrendering to Krishna, you should accept it. And when the dharma is coming in a way of actually surrendering to Krishna, then one should reject it. So that is the heart of this verse. And so therefore, to summarize what we discussed was that we discussed about the meaning of the word dharma. We firstly discussed about the how for a human being it is important to practice dharma. And then we discussed the meaning of the word dharma from Bhishma Dev's teaching to Yudhishthira Maharaj. And then we discussed several verses in the Gita where Krishna used the word dharma, starting from Dharma Kshetre, Kurukshetre, Samaveta, Yudhsava. And Arjuna gives reasons for not fighting the battle. And then how Arjuna's confusion about dharma, dharma samuda cheta. And how practice of dharma will protect a person from the greatest danger in life. And how Krishna says that, Krishna tells about the importance of practicing one's own swadharma instead of performing somebody else's swadharma. And and then how Krishna comes to establish dharma. And how even a fallen devotee he quickly becomes a dharmatma. And then how we discuss about the intelligence and the mode of ignorance and the psychology of the demons. And finally, we discuss this Sarva Dharman Parityajya Mamekam Sharanam Vaja. So with this, I'll stop here. If anybody has any one question, we'll take. Otherwise, Kirtan.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you for a wonderful class. Referring to the verse Sarva Dharman Parityaja Mamekam Sharanam Vraja, we still see that after devotees surrender, right, still there is some manifestation of pap in their lives. And in this context, I wanted to understand when Krishna uses the word pap in that verse, what is the meaning of the word pap? Is it just the sinful reactions, or is it just the past impressions? How do you understand this, Prabhuji?
Yeah, since even when a person surrenders to Krishna, sometimes we see even they also go through reactions, certain. Essentially, in the sense, generally, we don't find miracles in the life of the devotees, because when some miracles come, devotees can actually, one can actually take it for granted. So therefore, Krishna, in order to make the devotee more serious, because when there is a struggle, so then it helps a devotee to become more mature in his practice of bhakti, in his practice of dharma. So therefore, so those struggles come in the form of the different reactions, different disturbances in the life. And that helps a person to become more mature, because Krishna says that I do not immediately reciprocate with a devotee in order to make the devotee actually more and more actually attached to me. In order to make that person, bring that person more and more close to me, sometimes I do not immediately reciprocate with the devotee. So although Krishna says, moksha ishyami ma, akam tvam sarva papebhyo, I take care of the sins, but many times we do find devotees getting the sinful, some different reactions. That is because, that is again another manifestation of Krishna's mercy, because Krishna wants to make the devotee more serious, so then he will become more mature. And also many times we may just use the word devotee or a surrender, we may just use the word just casually, but it may not be that one may not have performed truly that surrendered or something. So one has to see that also.
Right. So in this context, the word pap does not mean sinful reactions. It rather means that he takes care of the past impressions, the sinful propensity one may have.
Yeah, whatever is the manifest reactions, there are certain, suppose a person has got a chronic disease or certain things associated with the body. So that will definitely manifest. But the past, the sinful propensities, or the avidya or ignorance which makes a person to commit that sin, which are actually more dangerous than the reaction which is manifest. So those things are destroyed by the practice of bhakti. And one may have to wait for at least for this particular lifetime for that manifest reactions to go away. Yes.
Thank you, Prabhuji.
Okay. We'll stop here. Srantana Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Bhaktavrinda ki jai.